on the way. The minute that's over, I have to fall asleep because I have a very, very long day tomorrow. Special broadcast of the Guy James Show, of course, at the regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, 4 a.m. Sydney. Guy is in Washington, D.C. at a conference, and there are many, many Democratic luminaries wandering about the place. I imagine he'll have some excellent guests to converse with, and so I'll be producing that remotely, just like we do your show, John, and just like we do your show, Peter. And
you're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Rush Limbaugh can sign a 9-year contract for $200 million. But he's doing an awful lot of hard work. I mean, it's not easy making up lie after lie after lie after lie to cover the backs of his Republican masters. It can't be easy. And I certainly understand why he was using 300 milligrams of Oxycontin. My God, how else could he sleep? What would the nightmares be like in a creature like this if he wasn't able to get himself into a nice drug-induced coma every night? You sicken me, Limbaugh. You sicken me, value voters. You sicken me, Republican Party. You sicken me. The mugger in the night who attacks a woman walking her dog. You sicken me beyond belief. You know, I don't know how this attack happened on Randy, but I'm sure of one thing. You didn't come from the front. She does have military training. And although I'm sure she's against war, she's certainly not a pacifist like myself. I'm against war, but I'm not a pacifist. You had to sneak up behind a woman, a supposedly grown man sneaking up behind a woman to attack her, to beat on her. I'd like to say that you probably got some sexual pleasure out of it, but I'm sure you couldn't get a heart. I'm sure you wouldn't be able to raise the dead in 1,000 years. So I don't think that would be the issue. You believed you were right, and so you attacked a woman. Rushmouth believes he's right, and he attacks a 12-year-old child. Ann Cocaine believes she's right, and she attacks an entire religion, calling it imperfect. Well, honey child, your religion is based upon that imperfect religion. From everything I've read in the Bible, and I'm sure I've read it more than you have, I don't think there was any corrections to have been made. From everything that I see, from your values, and you value voters, your Christianity is nothing I want to live around. No more than I'd want to live under the control of the Taliban. You're bankrupt, all of you. You have nothing to offer to America. You have nothing to offer to yourself. You certainly don't have anything to offer to me. Your days are gone. There's a new generation. The kids coming up now are not going to be Republican. They're not going to be selfish and inconsiderate like you. You're not going to have your base anymore. No, I know. Fat Mouth is going to change immediately and start trying to make money off of being on the other side. That's what turncoats do. That's what cowards like he does. And Cocaine, same thing. She'll start writing blogs for whoever pays her the most money. But do me a favor, little girl. Go to George Bush's library. He's doing out tons of dollars to every liar he can pull in to rewrite his history. You know, you can rewrite history and you can rewrite it all you want, but if no one reads it, it does no good whatsoever. Never could understand Coulter. Only claim to fame is she filed a lawsuit against Bill Clinton. My God. Isn't that wonderful? That made her such a special woman. Let's see. Republican Party latched on to someone who filed a lawsuit against Bill Clinton, but they're against lawsuits as being a way to become a parasite on society. My, my, my. You people are really inconsistent. You people are really sad. Okay, sum up. It's been a good evening. I've enjoyed my rants and raves. Take one thing seriously, though. I would love to do a celebrity boxing with you, Mr. Limbaugh. And as I promised, when you start crying, I will put one hand behind my back as I beat your ass. It'd be fun. Well, at least on my part. But it'd be a good sporting event. Life doesn't have to be as hard as we allow it to be. In most cases, whenever we have a tough time, it's because somebody else has put a block in our way. Let's take those blocks away. Let's stop these Republicans from ruling and running our lives. Let's stand tall and let's stand together. And let's stop this infection before it consumes the body. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. I want to thank Bob Kincaid, my mentor, my friend, for giving me this opportunity. I want to thank Agnes Kincaid for wonderful moral support. I want to thank you for listening. Without Peter and John, I guess none of this would be going as far as it has. Many thanks to all of you. Kick in your pennies, boys and girls. We're not going to get the money from big liberal supporters like the Republicans throw out to people that will lie for them. I guess the big supporters in the Liberal Party just believe that, you know, the truth is the truth and you don't have to pay people to scream it. People are going to say it on their own without all that money coming in. And to be honest with you, that's probably right. That's what's happening here. But the lights have to stay on. The bills have to be paid. And remember, none of the on-air people are receiving a penny. This is all just to keep the station going. Sign up, make a donation, and make your life a parallel of the rest of ours. Good evening.
If it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall. Thank you.
This is the Quality News Network. The death count now stands at 136 in the bombing attack of Benazir Bhutto's homecoming procession in Karachi, Pakistan. No group or individual has claimed responsibility for the attack, but the U.S. State Department echoed the Pakistanis in saying there is, quote, a strong al-Qaeda connection, end quote. Ms. Bhutto said, quote, for me, the attack was not on me. The attack was on what I represent, end quote. She said she would carry on with her struggle for democracy. Today marked the 20th anniversary of the stock market crash of 1987, and today wasn't all that dramatic, but significant nonetheless. The Dow fell 367 points after Caterpillar said the U.S. economy will, quote, be near to or even in recession, end quote, next year. The Washington Post reports that Syria is dismantling what's left of what American and foreign officials believe was a nuclear facility hit by Israeli warplanes in September. Officials say aerial photographs revealed, quote, signature, end quote, characteristics of a small yet substantial nuclear reactor similar to those found in North Korea. Despite the strains of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Michael Mullen said the U.S. has the resources to attack Iran as a last resort to stem their alleged nuclear ambitions and support for insurgents in Iraq. However, he said the focus is now on diplomacy. Mullen and Defense Secretary Robert Gates said Iran's acquisition of nuclear weapons could set off an arms race in the Middle East. They also warned of serious repercussions if Congress were to pass the non-binding resolution labeling the massacre of 1.5 million Armenians by the Turks around 1918 as genocide. Gates said the Turks are serious about restricting airspace to the U.S., vital for resupplying troops in Iraq. Gates also said the U.S. and Iraq are, quote, prepared to do the appropriate thing, end quote, to act against rebel Kurds in northern Iraq. Turkey approved military action against the rebels this week. Gates blamed the lack of action by the U.S. against the rebels on scant intelligence. President Bush expanded sanctions against Myanmar's military junta today and implored China and India to step up pressure as well. Fake bombs smuggled in by investigators passed through security at two of the nation's busiest airports. 70% got through at LAX, 60% at O'Hare. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it. I know. You're very good at keeping a secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, honey, I can read, just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Tornadoes and heavy storms have blasted across the Plain States and the Southeast, damaging homes, flooding highways, downing power lines. At least two people have been killed. Doctors have told the FDA children under the age of six should not be given over-the-counter cold and cough medicines. The physicians testify the drugs are ineffective and can be dangerous to one so young. A new malaria vaccine is proving safe and effective in tests on African infants. The prototype has been in formulation for 20 years. Health insurer United Health says it dropped customers this quarter rather than lower its prices. The Minneapolis-based insurer recorded a 15% increase in profit. International Monetary Fund and World Bank begin their annual meeting in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. McDonald's posted a 27% spike in profit. Executives credited higher traffic for the increase in same-store sales. Two of America's largest airlines, Southwest and Continental, posted higher-than-expected quarterly profits. The carriers credited fuller planes and higher ticket prices despite rising fuel costs. On the 20th anniversary of Black Monday, the Dow plunged 377 points today to close at 13,522. The NASDAQ dropped 74 to close at 2725, and S&P 500 lost 40. Oil is trading at $88.60 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
After a deadly attack on her motorcade in Karachi, two explosions killed at least 133 people and injured 290. Bhutto was not hurt. Kurdish rebels may sabotage oil pipelines if Turkish troops come after them in northern Iraq. That's according to a local news agency report. Tensions increased 2 days ago when Turkey's parliament authorized troops to cross the Iraqi border to go after PKK rebels. The United States, as well as Baghdad, is urging Turkey not to take military action, as it could seriously destabilize that region. Turkey's Kurds want their own ethnic homeland in the southeast of the country. Iraqi politicians are trying to decide if they'll go ahead with the immediate execution of three high-ranking members of Saddam Hussein's regime convicted of genocide. Sunni leaders warn that hanging the men now could ignite a violence and sectarian attacks. The U.S. officer and main jailer of Saddam Hussein will serve 2 years in jail. A court-martial in Baghdad found him not guilty of aiding the enemy by loaning an unmonitored cell phone to detainees, but it did convict him of less serious charges. Troops and police in Manila are on the highest alert after a huge bomb in a luxury shopping mall killed 8 and wounded at least 70. Indonesian police are using weapons to force tens of thousands of people to evacuate a region expected to be hit by an eruption of the nation's deadliest volcano. President Bush is expected to announce new sanctions against Myanmar for its violent repression of the country's pro-democracy faction. It's expected the president will also call on China and India to help put pressure on the regime. Officials say 5 Air Force officers will be fired in connection with the accidental transport of 6 nuclear-tipped missiles. They crossed the country in August with those missiles aboard. A probe of the incident was the result of several lapses in long-established procedures. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
Scientists in California have unveiled the world's first working radio using nanoscale components. The radio's nanocomponent processes an incoming signal and passes it on to an amplifier. The technology could be the first step in creating a functioning radio so small that it can't be seen with the naked eye. Tornadoes and heavy storms are responsible for at least 6 deaths as they blasted across the Plain States in the southeast. The storms damaged homes, flooded highways, and downed power lines. Health insurance company United Health says it dropped customers this quarter rather than lower its prices. The Minneapolis-based insurer recorded a 15% increase in its profits. Google also beat Wall Street expectations by posting a 46% increase in its quarterly profits. Sony announced it will shave about $100 from the U.S. cost of its PlayStation 3. And Capital One Financial says it was hurt this quarter when it shut down its Greenpoint mortgage unit. The credit card company posted a quarterly net loss exceeding $81.5 million. Oil prices yesterday exceeded $90 a barrel for the first time. Light sweet crude is at $88.10 a barrel. And the Dow is down 203 points at 13,686. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Welcome to the Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, your passport on perspective. Call Dr. Bill today at 1-877-443-2366 and let your voice be heard. And now, here is Dr. Bill O'Brien.
This is Bill O'Brien, and it is 6 minutes after the hour. It's a Friday afternoon. Let me get this straight now. Don't know what day it is today. It is 19th, maybe, of October. Anyway, it's October, middle October, and it's 6 minutes after the hour of three if you're in the East. I heard somebody on talk radio today make reference, Neil Bortz. I'll get back to that in a moment. To the parched, dry east, and he isn't kidding. We had a brief shower today, which wet everything down, and it was pleasant, but it was much, much too short. And apparently there's a lot of, obviously, if you've seen the national news this morning and you saw the storms in the Midwest and the South and Southeast, apparently the Southeast is getting some rain from this storm that came up in the Gulf that spun off a bunch of tornadoes in the Pensacola area and the panhandle of Florida, but it seems like most of the rain's going all around us, so we're still in need of some rain. Of course, everybody's hoping that it won't rain in the morning, because we have an event here in southern West Virginia tomorrow. It's Bridge Day, and that's the day. There are 450 base jumpers that have signed up to jump off the New River Gorge Bridge tomorrow. And they'll be, depending on whether, in fact, if it doesn't rain, they'll be well in excess. The estimates go up to 150,000 people who'll be on that bridge. There are vendors setting up early in the morning, and traffic is being diverted. And it's a very, very exciting area. It's one of the, clearly, the state's biggest one-day attraction. And I went to it for a number of years, and it's quite an event. I did not jump, however. I figure if I go over that bridge, Jimmy's going to push me, but I'm not going to go over on my own. We welcome you to today's program. I hope that your day is going well. I hope that your week is going well. And as we finish the end of the work week here on a Friday afternoon, we hope that we can kind of send you off into your weekend perhaps a little bit more, I'd say knowledgeable, but that's a little bit presumptuous on our part. At least we can raise some questions that'll get you thinking about things that maybe you haven't thought about before. That's our goal. We rely on you to help us meet that goal by taking advantage of our toll-free call line and calling us on some of the major issues. Our call-in line number is toll-free, 1-877-443-2366. Again, that's 1-877-443-2366. The last time, on Monday, we got together, we had a number of calls. The topic was retirement. I think touched the nerve there a little bit, and it was kind of exciting. It was a new experience for me on this program, in the sense that I haven't had, and of course I realize the time of day and those things, but the number of calls and people we had offering opinions and suggestions and concerns about that issue was exhilarating, to say the least. And I hope that that you'll feel comfortable picking up the phone and giving us a call. The number is toll free, and it is a program which solicits your ideas and your input and your thoughts. We're not going to criticize you for it. We're not going to insult you for it. We will not ridicule your ideas or anything else. I think that's, you have to go on the other side for that, I would say. And if you go over on the other side, you'll get it. I was making a comment just before we went on the air that driving home today to do today's program, I was listening to Neil Bortz. He's on locally here from 10 to 3 each day. It's a delayed broadcast. I believe he's actually on from 9 to noon, 10 to 1, one of those times. But here it's noon to 3. And he was talking about Pete Stark. And I wanted to say this, because we have this intro that we cut a little while ago about love, sweet love, that we have leading into this program. One of the reasons that we talked about that is because there's so little of it. And I think we saw it this week, and I heard it today, and I wanted to share this with you because it really got me fired up. But Borch was playing tapes of comments yesterday about the inability of the House to override the president's veto on the S-CHIPS bill. Obviously, an overwhelming majority voted for the bill, but it wasn't the two-thirds necessary to override the veto. So, they basically, the implication, the tone suggests that the bill didn't pass. The fact of the matter is it passed overwhelmingly, and what was missing was the number of votes needed for a two-thirds override of the president's veto. So the way that issue is spun, it seems to me, is an issue in itself. But anyway, there were various comments on the floor, and Pete Stark from California made some comments which were extremely direct and derogatory about the president, and he was talking about the president's the contradiction or the hypocrisy of vetoing a bill which would have delivered health care to 10 million children. At the same time, he's sending more and more of our young people over to Iraq. And these are his words. I remember them pretty well because I've heard it a number of times. Sending our boys and girls over in Iraq to have their heads blown off for his own amusement is the way he phrased it on the House. And I understand today that that Republicans are demanding an apology for that. And obviously, it's inappropriate. There's absolutely no question. But what I was interested in was the fact that Neil Bortz played it over and over again, and then he made reference to it, to Stark's comments, and suggested that they were symptomatic or symbolic of the right-on Democrats' position on the president, gut-wrenching hatred of the president, and the extreme vitriol and hatred which is reflected in those words. And again, the point I would make here, and I was talking to myself in the car because I couldn't help it, but the point that I would make here, of course, is he's taking Stark's words, which were obviously extreme, obviously inappropriate, but on the other hand, an obvious example of the frustration that exists in the House when you have the majority but you can't seem to get anything done because the minority hangs so closely together under the thumb of the administration on an issue like this. But to take Stark's comments, inappropriate though they were, and suggest that they are the mainstream of the Democratic opposition to President Bush and to President Bush's war in Iraq is not only inaccurate, but it's downright nasty. He used this to go back to the issue of the demand for an apology, and I thought this was extremely revealing. And this is really my point here as we open today's program. He basically was saying the last thing that the Republicans want is an apology. Much better that Stark not apologize, and that Republicans can continue to hammer away at the Democratic opposition by referring back to Stark's comments over and over and over and over and over and over again, and suggest that they are mainstream Democratic comments, and also close the comment or the issue by pointing out that Stark never apologized for those comments, and then he immediately, from the lack of apology, he immediately went to Bill Clinton and Juanita Broderick and pointed out that Bill Clinton never apologized for what Bortz says was clearly a rape of Juanita Broderick. And his suggestion was, if somebody accuses you of rape and you didn't do it, then you would protest your innocence up and down the board. But former President Clinton has never done that. So the implication is, therefore, he must be guilty. So basically, what Bortz is advocating is you make an extreme charge, and then basically you determine guilt or innocence based on whether the person responds to your allegation or not. This is the idea of guilty until proven innocent. The thing that I found very interesting was that Bortz was suggesting that Republicans use this as a strategy to confront Democrats, is to link Stark's extreme comments suggest that they are mainstream Democratic position on issues, that they speak to a gut-wrenching, use that term more than once, gut-wrenching hatred of the president, and then go on to use that against the Democrats in local elections, congressional elections, Senate elections, and ultimately the 2008 presidential campaign. I found it very interesting because what he is basically suggesting is not a strategy that hasn't been tried, but I would suggest that what he's revealing is a strategy that was undertaken by Karl Rove and those folks and has been going on over and over again. In other words, all I could think of is methinks you protest too much, Mr. Bortz, that what you are doing obviously is revealing exactly the strategy that you and yours pursue all the time. I found that very, very interesting. I'd like to return to that. We're going to pause for a break here, but I'd like to return to that issue very, very briefly because I think it's the issue of the apology and the frustration of Stark, because I think they reveal something, they're symptomatic of something much more serious than the comments themselves. But first, let's take our first break on this Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bill O'Brien. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
You've reached the Johnsons. We're not available to take your call. If you're calling about the apartment for rent, please leave your name and number after the beep, and someone will get back to you.
Hi, my name is Sanjay Rana. I would like to make an appointment to see the apartment.
Oh, hi, this is Robin DiPaola, and I'm calling about the apartment. Please give me a call back at 2.
Hi, hello. This is Rafael Baez. Please call me back at 718.
This is Jeannie Chu. I'd like to talk to you about the apartment. If you can, please call me back.
Hello, my name's Clayton Anderson. I'm calling about the ad in the Sunday paper.
Oh, hello, this is Mrs. Johnson. You must be calling about the apartment.
I am. Is it still available?
Well, you're the first person to call about it. Are you available?
Housing discrimination of all kinds is illegal in the U.S. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Join the conversation. Call Dr. Bill now at 877-443-2366. Now, Dr. Bill O'Brien.
This is Bill O'Brien. We're at 20 minutes after the hour. If you are just joining us for today's program, we welcome you. If you've been with us since the top of the hour, thank you for staying with us. Our call-in line number is toll-free, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. And let me make mention of the fact that this evening, Bob Kincaid's program will not be live, but Peter Godblad and Joe Vecchio's program will be live, and I wanted to make that point. Bob will be rebroadcasting an older program tonight, but the other programs will be live, and I'll try to remember to make that announcement again. We're at 21 minutes after the hour. Let's go to our phones. Dave's on the phone from California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dr. Bill. I may only have a couple of minutes. Somebody's supposed to pick me up for a strategy meeting here, but...
That sounds good.
Yeah, it is. The thought we shared a little bit the other day, I'm of the belief that right now high-tech goons of our federal government have their finger on the scale of our poll, and that they are trying to convince us we are all in love with Hillary and that we don't think Kucinich has a chance in the world. And they're trying to convince us of that. So the strategy I've had, and I just sent you an email on this, is that as much as possible, we make it known to everybody that if they do that stunt, if they put Hillary there as our candidate and nobody's ready to vote for her, we can, in the end, get an absentee ballot, and we can write in Kucinich. And if everybody does that all over, millions of people, I think that would do it. I think that just might save this country from, you know, because right now I think Hillary comes very close to what the neocons are all about. She accepts big money from the same special interests that they do.
Dave, do you think that there's anything that Dennis Kucinich can do in this context? Or do you think that there's, at this point, they don't seem to be willing to take each other on head to head, as this would do, obviously. If Kucinich said that about Hillary and about the media in one of these debates, that would be big news, wouldn't it?
Well, I wish he'd make it known that when polls are taken that don't involve this corporate-owned media, when, like, if you had a big, big audience and you had people calling in as fast as they can saying, I'm George, I'm in Minneapolis, I'm for Kucinich, and whatnot, you would find that Kucinich is beating Hillary 20-1 and Edwards is almost as much. So that's saying something to me. That's saying that these polls are being rigged. Now, why are they doing that? Because they fully intend to rig the election when it comes by. That's my guess.
Yeah. Well, I know we talked about that the other day, and I see your point, and I can't, to be very honest with you, Dave, I think it's a very, I'm interested what other people think about that, because it's very, very hard to contest it. It's obvious. You know, for example, Paul Krugman made the point today that Hillary has a fundraiser in Iowa, and it's with a big agribusiness conglomerate corporation out there, and his concern is that the philosophy, the ideology under which the progressive Democrats are trying to stand in opposition to the Republicans is contradicted by candidates like Hillary when they go to corporate interests to get financial support, and that's what she's doing.
Dr. Bill, we got to finish it later. My ride is here, but
right.
Thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, Dave. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. We are at 24 minutes after the hour of 3. In the East, and welcome to the program. Let me give you the call-in line number again. It's 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Dave's comment about Hillary and about the efforts to try to portray Hillary as the alternative to the Republican Party, as the only acceptable alternative to the Republican Party, when in fact there is substantial support for Dennis Kucinich and John Edwards, I think is very significant, and it does tie to the point that I was making prior to the to our first break, and it ties in with this business. I'm going back to the Pete Stark comment about the president that Neil Bortz was emphasizing today, and the point I wanted to make relates very well to the point that Dave was making, I think, and basically what I'm suggesting is that the frustration, and clearly if you listen to Stark, it's an issue of frustration to have a majority that is so solid in favor of a bill like the S-CHIP bill, and to have it lose by a rather small number of votes, and of course the necessary override was 2/3, And I believe there was something like 34 votes short of a two-third override. I believe that was it. But the fact of the matter is that the number of votes in favor was substantial, well over 100. And to lose this over and over again because the minority hangs in there almost as if they were stuck together in concrete or super glue, and very, very few are willing to be peeled away from the majority and move towards any kind of bipartisan vote, no matter what it's on. I mean, this one was insurance for kids. That's the implication. That's the argument that Stark and others were making, is obviously going to create tremendous frustration. The point that I wanted to make, and I guess this is the academic background in me, but I can't let these things go by without at least referring to them. It's very obvious that the nature of our two-party system is designed in part, at least, to minimize that kind of frustration. The whole idea of the two-party system is to provide a vehicle for dissent. I mean, there's no question that the architects of America's two-party system, and it was refined, it was developed in large part by Madison and the Jeffersonians in the 1790s, and it was perfected in the early 19th century during the period of Andrew Jackson into the 1830s, excuse me. And the idea was the perfection, the refinement, if you will, of the Democratic Party during that period is one of the least written about, at least in the textbooks, but more significant political developments, I think, of the 19th century, or indeed even period after that. Because what you see evolving during this period are the kinds of reforms that produce what ultimately becomes the Democratic Party, which is a direct derivative of the Jeffersonian Republican Party. But the Democratic Party, under the tutelage, theoretically, of Andrew Jackson, is an effort to try to bring those who had no voice in American politics before that period into the mainstream of American politics by providing them an alternative, a vehicle. And the mechanism to do that was a way to blunt the frustration that we see, that I saw, in Pete Stark's comments before the House of Representatives yesterday. In other words, if you constantly close the door on dissent, if you constantly make it impossible over and over again for those who disagree to find a way to be heard, to find a way to dissent, to find a way to communicate their dissent, then what you do is you drive people outside the system. And when you drive people outside the system, you risk radical extremes. The idea of the two-party system was to envelop or assimilate everybody into the political system by providing alternatives and a vehicle to blunt frustration. And the reason I say this is because I think this is one more example of the extent to which this administration and those who support it are doing serious damage to our political system. It's very, very obvious to me. It was very, very obvious to me today. And this is merely the latest example of something that I've seen over and over again, and I've commented on it numerous times. This was yet another example of efforts to not only criticize the opposition, not only create distance from the opposition, not only to define your opponents more clearly. This was an effort to destroy your opponents politically. By taking the most extreme comments born of frustration, which I believe is what Pete Stark was doing, and to suggest that this is mainstream symbolic example of your opponents is to try to paint legitimate opposition into a corner by suggesting that it is extreme and radical. And what you are doing is not just trying to defeat your opponents politically, you're out to destroy them, to ridicule them, to not only destroy the ideas, but destroy their credibility so that they can't recover. We saw this in the McClelland Senate race in Alabama. We saw it in what the Republicans did to John McCain in the primaries in South Carolina in 2000. We see this in many, many places. You can see it over and over again. And you hear it from terrestrial talk radio. You hear it from the Savages and the Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and the Neil Bortzes. And I heard it today. And I think it is very, very significant and is very, very important, because it flies in the face of what our two-party system is designed to do for our political communication and our political survival. I see this in Dave's comments about Hillary, that in reality the efforts to try to paint Hillary, and that's clearly what the media is doing, to try to paint Hillary as kind of the mainstream alternative to the Republican Party, to the Republican opposition, to the administration, is an effort to try to bring all the opposition toward the center, and to paint Kucinich as being outside the mainstream and in the extreme. And as Dave pointed out, if you listen to the polls and you get particular polling reactions to particular positions, you begin to see that Kucinich, more often than not, is in the mainstream of Democratic opposition to the Bush administration and its policies. The challenge for Kucinich is to try to convey that he is not extreme, he is not on the fringe, but in fact he is mainstream progressive. And that is, in other words, what we see here is a tension between those Democratic progressives who support Kucinich, John Edwards, that group, versus those who seek to pull the Democratic Party toward the center. And that's probably the clearest representative of that is Hillary. And that is in tune with Bill Clinton's centrist approach to the Democrat to winning the election in 92. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. It's 33 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bill O'Brien, and I will be right back after these messages. Please stay with us.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Michael Mukasey doesn't deserve to be confirmed as Bush's next attorney general. The argument that he's better than Alberto Gonzalez is setting the bar way too low. Yeah, Mukasey talked a good game the first day about his disgust with torture and with the memos justifying it that came out of the Justifying It Department. But then on Thursday, after apparently being sent to the Addington Dry Cleaners, he told senators that the president didn't need to obey some laws of Congress, and he refused to acknowledge that waterboarding was torture. Mukasey has a history of being indifferent to brutality when U.S. guards are doing the brutalizing. When he was a judge, one detainee came to his courtroom and said through his lawyer that he'd been abused by his guards and had the bruises to prove it. "He looks fine to me," Mukasey said. This callous attitude about brutality and this Cheney-esque attitude about the powers of the presidency disqualify Mukasey for the post of leading law enforcement official in the USA. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Join the conversation. Call Dr. Bill now at 877-443-2366. Now, Dr. Bill O'Brien.
We're back with you. It's 36 minutes after the hour, 36 minutes after the hour of 3 in the East. And I'm sure that that like you and like me, we're all looking forward to the weekend. I think all of us do that. We never really grow up when it comes to that, do we? I welcome you to today's program. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning into the Head On Radio Network. We encourage you to make that a habit. I think you'll find that it indeed does become a habit because, you know, from my experience, what you hear on Head On, you hear nowhere else. And I think that that's very, very important. Our call-in line number is toll-free. Let me share with you the numbers. 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Let's go to our phones as we begin this segment of our program today. We have Suzanne. She's calling us from California. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Dr. Bill. How are you today?
I'm very well. How about you? Doing very well.
Pretty good. I'm in Texas, but when I'm in California, I'm in Pete Stark's congressional district.
Okay.
I voted for Pete Stark for a lot of years. He's been in the Congress for a long time.
Uh-huh.
He's in his 70s, and he is just hot to trot. You do know that he is an avowed atheist now. He finally came out of the closet.
Uh-huh. No, I didn't know that, but...
oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't, but that's okay. That's okay.
What
I mean,
check.
It's okay that I didn't know. I mean, that's
yeah.
But I found, you know, I'm familiar with not that familiar with him. I know that he's been there for a long time. What I saw this on the news and on TV, and of course I heard it on the radio, and it was played over and over again. And what I saw visually was frustration. I mean, I didn't, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, even he in his private moments would probably say, well, maybe I went a little bit overboard. I mean, I don't think that he's blowing people's heads off for his own amusement. But on the other hand, he's, you know, in reality, there are many people that believe that this is a war crime issue. I do.
I do, too, actually. And I know that Pete's probably just steaming over this whole thing about killing people and not helping children.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with him. I think Bush is a total wacko. Anyone who would blow up frogs with firecrackers is not sane, as far as I'm concerned, and that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I see no change in him from when he was a younger person.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's sick. I really do. And I think you know, the Republicans can say what they want. I don't know if most Democrats feel the same way. I couldn't say that, you know.
Suzanne, do you agree with this? And I hear this. I heard Bort say it today, but I hear talk radio hosts say this all the time, and TV talk hosts as well. They talk about this, what Bort's called gut-wrenching hatred of George Bush. I'm wondering.
I think that's a bit extreme.
Uh-huh.
What
do you think contributes to? Because I agree that the opposition that I hear and see to George Bush is unlike any opposition to any president or any administration I've ever seen before. It is unique. And I'm wondering.
Well, the thing I see, I have siblings. you know, and other relatives who are Republicans, and they just cringe whenever he is on the news or anything, because he is so unappealing. He does so many things that are not nice things to do.
Right.
You know, he just.
I think he just
doesn't belong there.
No,
the problem.
That's, you know, that's the issue. I think. I think the point
right.
that point is probably the most telling point that I've thought a lot about this because. And, you know, I try to tell myself I really don't hate anybody, but on the other hand, I come about as close. And what I hate is what's happening in his administration and the fact that we can't get to anything that's happening because of him. In other words, he's as you say, he doesn't belong there. He's there. He's not making the decisions. He's basically shielding those who make the decisions from the access of from access by the American people, and that's so frustrating that it comes out as hate. I think.
And
you know,
I don't know that it comes out as hate. I think it. I don't know if he's being used. I think he's part of it. He comes from a family that is very, very right leaning, to put it nicely. We can't. You know, we aren't allowed to use the F word.
Right.
But I think he is. I think that's how he was raised. I think he was raised at his granddaddy's knee.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I know a lot of people who were raised essentially by their grandparents, and they have big, major problems with
many of them
you know,
grow,
reality.
Some don't.
Well,
you know, I agree with you.
I have one cousin who doesn't.
Oh, okay. I think we.
Well, yeah,
we all have these
cousins who are. You
oh
know,
yeah, oh yeah, we all have. Yeah.
yeah
Once you get in a family, it's a whole different discussion.
Oh,
but,
it sure is.
But
he is. He's not. He's not a well man.
I agree with you, and I don't think. I mean, I know where he comes from, and I know his family and his background and all of that. I think he's comfortable with what's happening in his name, but I don't think he's the architect of it. I really don't. And that's, I think, the most frustrating thing is that he, plus the fact that he's, you know, as you say, the friends of yours who are Republicans cringe every time he speaks. I mean, he's an embarrassment to them, to the nation, to the, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Right. Well, the problem is we had a coup. That's exactly what we had, was a coup directed by the Supreme Court. And they have taken over the country. And, it's not a nice thing to say.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Cross the Universe Day. Find a place that you can listen to Let It Be.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Some Americans are already voting in the Super Tuesday primaries. They live in foreign countries where it's tomorrow already. For the rest of us, we wait until the morning comes.
How's it going, New Jersey?
Barack Obama, within sight of Giant Stadium today, talked about how sometimes underdogs can produce exciting victories. Hillary Clinton's voice will be really glad when Super Tuesday is done.